Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and tonight we are going to preview week two of the NRL finals off of week one, which was a wild one. We had just the solitary best bet, which was a pretty easy winner. We had either team 1-10 in Cowboys Sharks. It goes to Golden Point. It goes to extra time, then Golden Point. We had one mixed matchup winner, winning by a massive margin as well, an underdog price on Cowboys to have more tries than the Eels. They had 5 to the Eels, 1 try. And a 13-1 multi that lost. And the losing leg, get this, was Cowboys 1-12, but settling at 80 minutes. Rolled the dice there for better odds on the 80-minute margin. It did hurt, and we did explain that in the recap. And, I mean, it was an amazing round of footy to recap with amazing matches and so many talking points. So I definitely suggest people go back and watch or listen to that recap if you haven't already, because you will get additional thoughts on what we made of the four teams that play this weekend. We try not to cover the same ground too much. And of course, now that we're at Wednesday night, it's all about looking forwards. And you're looking forward to our best bet, but we don't have a best bet this week. So we will explain why and what we've considered for both the games. We will give you a mixed matchup, which is going to lean into our leans on the two matches. And our mixed matchup is Souths to outscore Parramatta. And that's $2.45 on TopSport. You can have up to $200 on that and use the code TRIPOD if you want a TopSport account. We've won 50% of the mixed matchups this season, which in one hand is a far cry from 70% last year. But let me be clear, 50% is still ridiculous. You will not find anyone that can tip for an entire season and win average winning odds higher than $2.50 and win half the time. You won't find it. And that's a bad year for the mixed matchup by mixed matchup standards. And I think we've won 6 of the last 7 as well. One of the reasons it's tougher to find best bets, I mean, we don't have a best bet every game in any given week, but especially finals, because everyone's been eyeballing, there's only 2 games to choose from. And for us to make something a best bet, we've got to feel the odds are significantly wrong. We'll talk about why we don't necessarily feel that, but we will still steer you in the direction that we think is the best value. Sometimes something might not win 60% of the time, but it doesn't mean it's not a good bet. And the other thing is, to stay true to you guys, we want to provide as much as we can, but we're never going to tip something and call it a tripod best bet for the sake of it. So you know when we do, we really mean it. Mixed matchup, we'll explain more why we have picked those sides, of course, as we go into the games. And you can back that right now, or you can wait till you've listened to us talk about the games, because the odds aren't going to move. Unless the only reason TopSport would move mixed matchup odds is if there was a drastic market move. And speaking of the market, let's get some thoughts from Tristan on how these ones are shaping up.
G'day, Tripod family. We've only got the 2 games this weekend after a cracking round 1 of finals, where we had some really, really good games. I think every game went pretty much down to the wire, apart from probably the Penrith game, but that was still a really good match. And we've got the 2 games now where Parramatta go into the game against the Raiders, $1.50 favourites, despite losing to Penrith and Canberra with that impressive victory against the Storm. The line has moved from 5.5 out to 6.5, just on the back of Mitch Moses getting named in that side. There was a little bit of uncertainty earlier on in the week, but I think we all thought he was going to play. I suppose just make sure you monitor team list just in case something happens late there. And then the other game of the weekend between the Sharks and the Rabbitohs is going to be an absolute beauty. It's very, very close to Pick'em. It opened up at about 205, the Sharks, 177, the Bunnies, and the market did move back towards Pick'em, and now we've seen a bit of a push back for South Sydney. They're back out to $1.81, and the line's gone from Pick'em to -1. So it'll be interesting how both of those sides get through or back up this weekend after the Sharks went to extra time, and then the Rabbitohs obviously had that very intense battle. Just looking at the premiership betting now, on the back of what happened in week one, Penrith's into odds on. They're into $1.82. The Cowboys obviously with a week off as well, of $5.50. Then you got the Eels and the Bunnies around about the $8 to $9 mark, with the Sharks there at $10.02 and Canberra, the biggest outsiders, at $21. From our point of view, we actually took quite a big bet on the Raiders at $41. Someone had $5,000 on them. They'll be very happy with themselves just in the last week with them getting through to that game. And then from our perspective, we've got a liability on the Eels and the Rabbitohs. So, but, you know, two of those sides, well, and obviously the Sharks are in there. Two out of those four sides won't be there next week. So we'll see how that affects betting. Penrith are pretty much a straight multiple now of the market is suggesting they're going to be around about the $1.30 mark in each of their games for the next two. So we'll see if that holds true, and we'll see how the other games this weekend play out. Good luck if you're having a bet.
Thanks, Tristan. So when you're looking at futures odds from this point forward, we know the exact path of every team. So it is all about predicting like what head-to-head odds would be, projecting that forward. But we're all talking about week two right now, where six remaining NRL teams will become four by the end of Saturday night. And it begins Friday night at Combank Stadium with the Eels hosting the Raiders. The line, as you heard, is plus 6.5. The Canberra Raiders are getting that start against the Parramatta side that is unchanged. The biggest story being Mitch Moses, which Tristan touched on. Nasty head knock, wiping him out against Penrith right as the tide turned in the second half of that match. Canberra have lost Adam Elliott to a pelvis injury. Harawira Naira will get the start. Sutton joins the bench. Padonis, you haven't said anything on this pod yet, so take us away.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. Great to be here again for week two of the finals. And I know we haven't got a best bet here, but still happy to break down this one. And I don't think anyone's surprised that Canberra are the underdogs, despite winning last week. And I think they're a side that's played the Eels pretty tight in recent years. They've won three of the last five, and their two losses was last year and the year before was by 1 and 2 points. So when I handicap this match, the strength for me on both teams is their middle forward. And when I look at the two teams, it's pretty even in that respect. And we've got Tarpane and Papali'i up against Paulo and Campbell Gillard. I'm not really convinced that either side is going to be able to dominate the ruck and gain that ascendancy. So for me, it's a battle in the middle that won't have much space for the outside backs. And I think points are going to be at a premium in this game. And when I do think it's going to be unders and low scoring, that always favors me to the underdog. So I find it hard to be able to back the favorite in that scenario when I do think it's going to be low scoring. And I think it's going to be different to what we saw last weekend with a lot more higher scoring in finals. I think it's going to be more of a traditional finals game here, especially given the rain around in Sydney on Friday. It's predicted to be wet and raining. So that's obviously going to impact scoring as well. And I think Canberra had a pretty soft draw heading into the finals. And last week was a massive step up in class for them against Melbourne. They got the win. They're going to have tremendous belief in themselves on the back of that. And they're going to be able to cause another upset. They're going to definitely feel that way. And I think when I look at finals games, to me, one thing that stands out is the halves battle. And I think Jamal Fogarty and Jack Wyden are playing the best that they've played together and individually all season. So I don't really think that there's much of an edge to Moses and Brown. So I think the gap's a lot tighter between those. And when you talk about Moses, Tristan mentioned it. We've heard it all week about his concussion. I don't think there's any question that he's going to play. And when I was looking into what this independent doctor assessment actually is, it's just a Q&A question answer style test. There's not like a physical assessment or anything that has to test your cognitive ability. So I think it relies a lot on the transparency and the honesty of the player. So we saw it last week with Cam Murray. And for sure, there's no question in my mind that Moses is playing, but whether or not he's 100% healthy and fit and the right frame of mind, that's still up for debate. So that'd be one concern with betting the points with the Eels and laying that small number, because it is over a converted try as well. I think both these sides have shown that they have a defensive resolve and they're able to keep the games tight and close. I think back to that opening stand that Canberra had last week when they withstood on their goal line for the first 9 minutes in the first half of their against Melbourne under all that pressure. So I definitely think that Canberra are going to hold themselves in good stead. And I know that people want to say, who do you guys normally want to tip? If I'm tipping a winner in this game, I'm definitely leaning towards the Eels, because I just think that in those crunch moments, they've also got guys like Gutherson and Reid Marnie that they can lean on to win those big moments, because I think Canberra have less of those style of players. So I think it edges it in the Eels' favour. But if I was picking a team on the spread, it would be Canberra, but not enough to make it a best bet.
Yeah, you mentioned Mitch Moses and you said there's no doubt in your mind he's going to play. And I kind of agree, which is why I am surprised the line moved from 5.5 to 6.5 when Moses was named. Were people really thinking there was a chance Moses wasn't going to be named? So I think if you liked Parramatta, you had to jump in on Monday or Tuesday and lay that -5.5. And at 5.5, which is what I saw the line was before I checked again today, I would have been tempted by the Eels. We've liked them, as you guys know. We've backed them every single week since round 20, apart from last week where we stayed away and probably stayed away because I still had respect for what they might be able to do, although, of course, they did not cover last week. Something that's been in their favour, though, is about virtually the same 17 players. So they've had that real continuity throughout this run. They've played a high caliber brand of footy during this run as well. It hasn't been perfect. There was one night out there against South Sydney where they got blown away, and you could say the same about the final half hour last weekend against Penrith. Now, no disrespect to Canberra, but the Raiders are not quite South at their best or Penrith at their best. And I think I look at the matchup and I agree with you. Like, both packs are ferocious, but I don't see a big edge. Both sides play a similar way. They want to play through you. They really want to be physical. Parramatta probably adds that element of leading the competition in offloads. I agree, the form of the halves, and people forget that. Fogarty wasn't there for the first two-thirds of the season. So they've been building up their combination because Whiten and Fogarty never played together before this year. They really are improving. Fogarty maybe best game of his career last week. And then the back lines know how to finish off tries, but they can be susceptible to conceding them at times as well. The outside backs are not the strength of either of these sides. But where I see the advantage is something you touched on. I think it's 9-1. I think Marnie, he's only young, but he's so much more experienced than Wolford, who's a rookie. And then Savage is a second-year live wire, but Gutherson is a captain and veteran at this stage in his career. And then another edge to Parramatta you didn't mention, but Combank. They do play very well. It is their home ground there, and it is an edge as well. And speaking of playing at home, this is a factor you've touched on in previous weeks. Parramatta's only left Sydney once since round 12, if you can believe that. One trip to Brisbane since round 12. Other than that, they've been able to stay, you know, in their home environment. And that can add up, that toll and that time spent travelling. So that's an advantage. Whereas Canberra, to flip it the other way, you can say, look, in terms of coaching, I think both sides have coaches that you got to respect. You know, are there question marks about both? Sorry, another factor I wanted to put in Parramatta's favour is just the longer turnarounds. Even going back to round 25, where Parramatta played the first game of the round, Canberra played the last game of the round. And then, of course, in this game, Power played Friday, Canberra Saturday. And I mentioned the coaches, and you just know that Ricky loves that short turnaround. But now look at those factors I've mentioned, right? Maybe a better hooker, better fullback, home ground, you know, the travel, and also the maybe a little bit more rest. I don't think any one of those factors rules Canberra out. And you mentioned as well that Canberra has played themselves into form. One of the reasons they've done that is because they've had some cupcakes on their schedule. Very friendly draw. That's allowed them to sharpen their tools, sharpen their attack. Then they got the real test in Melbourne. They passed with flying colours. That also proves they can win away from home. It proved they can win as an underdog, and they embrace that. And they're not a side that tries to play too risky or too fluky and it's all taking chances. They have a real identity, a real substance, and they have a real grit. And that does tempt you. And I started this by saying the Eels tempted me at -5.5, but it's not 5.5. It's 6.5 now. And that feels right to me. I really am not sure which way I'd go at that line. I do feel like Parramatta deserves to be that favourite. And I think it's different. On one hand, you could say take the team that's off a loss, where the last game we saw, we watched them lose by 20, whereas the last game we saw of Canberra was very impressive. And that's what you always get in week two of the finals, a team off a loss against a team off a win. And sometimes people overrate what they've seen more recently. So that would lean you to Para. And another thing about the week two of the finals is you get these sides that have finished seventh and eighth some seasons that have fought tooth and nail just to get to the finals. And then if they've got one all-in effort, they get that upset. And then that's them done. They run out of steam at some point. Canberra doesn't feel like that to me because, once again, they've had that very friendly draw. So I'm with you. I think Parramatta progresses, but I think that line is fair. It's not a strong enough edge for me. Moving to Saturday, we've got another beauty here. Sharks, Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs -1.5 at Allianz. And I know there's been a lot of talk about home grounds and home grounds in the finals, but someone is still going to need to explain this to me in the comments, or maybe you can put on us. Why? Why could the Sharks play at home last week in a 2v3 that is monumentally important for your season as the side that came second and earned that right and you earn the right to play at home again in this elimination game, but it has to be at a bigger stadium this week. I'd also like to know what you guys think about that. Like, it does mean more fans can get to the game, which is great. I guess it means better atmosphere, but sometimes there's an amazing atmosphere at the local grounds. Is it fair on Cronulla? That's my question, especially when you consider Cronulla has never played, obviously, at this new ground. It's their first occasion, only opened a couple of weeks ago, but South Sydney are managing to play their third straight after probably sending a message to the Roosters fans that this is their turf last weekend. Godness, your thoughts just on home ground advantage?
Yeah, I think it's got this this rule that the NRL has brought in with when it gets to these later stages in the finals, they've got to play what they call like a regional stadium. So it's one of the bigger city stadiums. So my understanding is if the Tigers or if Penrith are in this stage, again, they wouldn't be able to play at their stadiums either, and it'd be at Allianz as well. So you could say that it's pretty slack for Penrith. They came first. They can't even play their own home ground in Penrith, but such is the rule at the moment. And the Sharks have dealt with it before. They've had to play at the old Allianz before it was knocked down, even in week one of the finals. I think all the talk around the Sharks not being able to play at PointsBet Stadium was the only reason that the NRL relaxed the rule to let them play this year there, because I think they had this other rule on facilities and you got to have a certain amount of transport links and car parking and food options, and the Sharks don't really have that where they are now. It all goes back to the point, and sorry we're getting off topic, but it all goes back to the point where the state government funding for these stadiums, Vlani's had a deal in place, the state government isn't honouring it at the moment. That's where this whole thing started, about Vlani's was going to take the grand final away from Sydney and shop it around to Melbourne and Brisbane. Here we are. It is in Sydney. At least we know that for 2022. And moving on to this game, because as you touched on, South did have the benefit of playing there twice, being able to see and to feel and experience the ground and get all, their heads around all the sight lines. And if you listen to Cody Walker early in the week in his press conference, he said that it's nice to play another home game there again. And that's a slight dig there at the Roosters. But when I started my process looking at this game, the first thing that I went to was the previous encounter between these two sides. And it's a pretty good barometer for being able to track that, because it only came recently in round 20. And at the time in the podcast, in that Wednesday podcast, I did say that I felt the Sharks were the better side. But I also said that with Campbell Graham still to return and Latrell Mitchell still to get a few more reps under his belt, I felt that South had a lot more improvement and we're going to be the better team heading into September. And I don't think anything's changed in my opinion of that. I do agree that South are the better team, and the market also reflects that at the moment, with South as a small favorite. Whereas if you remember in that round 20 encounter, they were a small underdog. They were about 2.5 or 3.5 point underdog. And I understand that was a points bet, so there was a slight edge to home field. But even if you took away that home field back then, the Sharks were still rated a point better or so. So the market has flipped that. That game went down to the wire, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a similar result here. And personally, there's been some talk about the Sharks having to play 93 minutes last week, and that whole narrative about are they tired and busted. Well, I still think they're one of the fittest teams in the comp, up there with the Cowboys. They get a full week to prep with the 7-day turnaround. That's the other advantage that these top four sides do get over the bottom four teams. They get the extra day rest. And they've also had the option, some through suspension and some through injury, but they've been able to manage the workload of their forward pack over the past few weeks. And when I look at some of the guys, for example, that come to mind, like Dale Finucane, Toby Rudolph, they didn't play rounds 24 or round 25. So I still think they're going to be fresh, and last week's game isn't going to take a toll on those guys. And on the counter to that, you could argue that South's game was even more brutal and even more physically draining than what the Sharks had to experience, because that was such a unique and physical encounter that I do wonder whether or not South will be able to recover and bounce back from that game. Tom Burgess is out this week with a suspension, whereas Dale Finucane only got a small charge with him, and he's able to play for that crusher tackle because I think he copped a fine and he can move on with his carryover points. But the other concern worth highlighting for me for South is that they were really, really on last week, and you could really tell they were up for that arch rival game. And there's a slight risk of a natural letdown and drop in intensity. And look, with Origin plays in that team, and with guys like Latrell Mitchell, the experience of being in the grand final last year, you'd like to believe that they're able to avoid that and be able to manage that. But still, it's worth noting that there is a risk there. But whereas the Sharks, you know they're going to have the bit between their teeth with a point to prove. They don't want to go out in straight sets. Similar to the Eels game, I just feel that in those crunch moments. I want to lean towards Latrell and Cody Walker to give South that edge, just to split the two sides. But when I'm trying to qualify whether or not it's a best bet, I think there are more factors that are going against South here than what it does for them. And it's another game that could come down to the wire. So it's a pass for me, ultimately.
Yeah, I think if you want to make a best bet on the side, you're going to take Cronulla plus 1.5. Maybe you can find a plus $2, $2.50, right? You probably need to believe they should be the favorite. If you think Cronulla's going to win, you could justify playing the plus. To play the Rabbitohs at minus 1.5, best price minus 1.5, $2 odds right now. And that would be the way I'd lean if I was forced to play it. You probably need to believe the line should be 3.5 to 4. We're not quite there, which again, we think the bookies haven't got this too wrong. Just to share my opinion on the stadium thing, I understand the rules. So ultimately I say, well, how is it different in week 2 and week 3 compared to week 1? Are the week 1 games not as important? I think just let the clubs decide. If they move it to a bigger stadium, more of their fans can get in. But if they feel they've got a stronger advantage, they want to play at home, let them play at home. That would be my opinion, but I'd love to hear other people's opinions. You mentioned the teams. Cronulla is unchanged. 93 minutes against the Cows last week, and the Rabbitohs did lose Tom Burgess. He wasn't able to defer his suspension despite the cries of the fans. Cheekham will come into the team, and the GOAT Nichols is going to get the start. So I did say in the recap that as our extra time was unfolding last week in Sharks Cowboys, the thought was crossing my mind, man, whoever loses this is going to be hard to get up again next week. It's a physical toll, but it's an emotional toll too. And if the Cowboys had lost, I feel like they'd think, we roared all the way back, we scored 30 points, we scored in the final minute, we forced it to extra time, and we still fell short, and that would be hard. In fact, it was Cronulla who ultimately lost in the 93rd minute, and they might think we were 8 minutes from victory, or they might think we were 1 minute from victory before that try we conceded. And you got Nico Hines, the Dally M favourite, and Wonder Kid that's on the scene this year. He had 5 try assists in a losing side. Like, when does that ever happen? Now, you watch the press conferences, we watch every week. I give a lot of credit to Fitzgibbon. He is a stoic character. He said all the right things. He did not lament the result or any moments at all. He was all about looking forward and what the job at hand is. And that's how you have to be. And I also look at Cronulla and I think, you know, it is Fitzgibbon's first year. And it is Nico's first year and new club, new position. Nobody picked Cronulla to come second, right? So this team is ahead of schedule. So you could say, therefore, they're still kind of playing with house money, and anything they achieve in the finals and any finals wins they can get is a bonus. Maybe that's easier to cop than a team that expects to make the grand final and finishes top 4. And when they lose in round one of the finals, they're rattled and they're really deflated. And then you do see sometimes gun top 4 sides bow out in straight sets just because they can't get over the loss in week 1. I don't have the answer, but that is such an important question we have to ask, is how does Cronulla respond? Now, you've made the case that everyone thinks Cronulla will be flat, or a lot of people do. What about South Sydney? And I agree, look, the game didn't go over 90 minutes, but they were probably out on the field just as long when you add up all the stoppages, and they probably did exert as much effort when you consider the physicality and defending with 11 men multiple stages throughout that match. But how did South Sydney win that game? Their defense got them home. And it's not a fluke. We saw this team make the grand final last year on the back of their defense. And yes, they lost Adam Reynolds, but it wasn't him holding the defense together. And of course, what you lose in Reynolds, you get back and more in a guy like Latrell Mitchell, who wasn't there for the finals campaign, but boy, is he there now. And I think at this point in the competition, look at any team, I don't see another player that can exert their will on a game the way that Latrell can. He doesn't need extra motivation for it being an elimination match, but I do think about the fact that it's a rematch and he feels personally responsible in a way for them being on the wrong side of the ledger there, because he did miss 3 field goals in that game. And you just know Latrell really wants a crack at Penrith next week too, because he wasn't there for the all-important game last October. And you touched on the prior matchup. We also had a best bet in that game. So we went either team 1 to 10 in that one, because I actually thought, the way I recalled it, I definitely liked the Rabbitohs, and typically we'll go on either team 1 to 10 when we like the underdog. But you explained why the Rabbitohs were underdogs that week. It was a little bit different, and it was a flipped home ground. And that is the big change here, is the venue, which we've had a good little discussion about. But taking South Sydney as a best bet again, you've got to pick holes in Cronulla to a degree. And we said, look, maybe the fact that They've won a lot of games since Origin. Maybe they did have a favourable draw, but I don't want to pick too many holes in Cronulla. I like what they're about. I think that they're better than people realise in defence, and people maybe put off the scent a bit because they did let in 5 tries last week. But overall, they're a really strong defensive unit, and they have some silky moments in attack which were showcased last week. And I think it's going to be a beauty. There's not much between these sides, but I do pick Souths and I do lean to South Sydney, and that's why we're going to anchor our mixed matchup with them, because in big games, it's the big players that are the difference. And I look at Cam Murray, and he's the best forward on the field for me on Saturday night. I look at Latrell, he's probably the best player and certainly the best back on the field. You know, the halves are pretty evenly matched. Maybe you give the edge to Moylan and Hines, the season hit they're having, and obviously Souths have a rookie in their halves. But you could also counteract that and say Damien Cook is the more threatening hooker. But a factor I'm looking at, everyone knows South's right to left attack is dynamite, right? And Cronulla's going to try and stop that. You know it's coming. It's still stopping. It's another matter. Cronulla is also really deadly attacking right to left. Nico gets his hands on the ball and goes to Moylan, and you've got Talakai out there. Right, but I'm looking at the Rabbitohs' right edge defence. I think Ilias underrated, Colin Matangi, one of the best young back rowers in the comp, and Campbell Graham, someone you said that didn't play in the prior matchup, is one of the best defensive centres in the competition. And that unit there, maybe shutting down one try, one opportunity, that could be all the difference. That's why I lean Souths. As I said before, I'm split on the Eels in terms of the line. I think they probably get the job done. But Podonis, in fact, leans to the Raiders as well as leaning to Souths. So it sets up a pretty straightforward mixed matchup. We only got 2 games to choose from, but I'm very happy with what we've come up with. South Sydney to outscore Parramatta. It's $2.45 because Para are a bigger favourite than Souths. But, you know, could we get a higher scoring game in Souths Cronulla compared to Parramatta that played the only unders game last week? Have a punt on that if you want, up to $200 you can have. It's also the jersey comp. We're still giving away a jersey every week throughout the finals. So comment who you think will score the last try in Sharks Rabbitohs. If you want more, as I said, go back and check out our recap, because I know not everyone watches the recap or listens that that watches the preview. But if you want to hear more, including hearing about the heartbreak of the 13-1 multi that went down, but what about the joy of the $91 for Tom Gilbert first try story? You get that all there on our recap. The NFL is back. In fact, Podonis, you're 100% on Mateo's mixed matchup. You hit at $3.25. You took the team that had the worst record of 32 teams 2 years straight against the team that had the MVP 2 years straight. And did they win at $3.25? They won 22-7. You want more NFL? Prop me up with The Undertaker Saturdays, Netty Given Sunday, Sundays. You want racing preview? No Morals, 6 p.m. Thursday night. And this recap, one more thing I will say, no more Sunday footy till the grand final. So I'm probably going to put our recap up, probably go live, but maybe Sunday morning. And then if you tune in Sunday morning, sweet. But if not, you can catch it anytime on Sunday that you like. I'm going to close the pod by asking a big favor, because I asked this favor a couple of weeks ago in the recap on the back of crazy form that we've been on. And I think I said on Sunday, we've gone 25-5 on our last 30 best bets, and our winning percentage all the way up to 60% now. And everything we do is 100% free for everyone to follow. And we appreciate everyone that tunes in and engages with us in any way we can. We couldn't make the show possible and put everything into it that we do without the sponsorship that we receive. And look, I'm not here to tell you guys, please sign up to Top Sport or Dabble and use the Tripod code. It's there. You use it if it's in your best interest for your punting. What I will ask you guys, if you watch us on YouTube, please hit the subscribe and leave us a rating on Spotify, whether you listen on Spotify or if you just have Spotify. That minute of your time that you might generously dedicate to do that for us, that all helps with the metrics. That makes it possible to get sponsors. That makes it possible for us to create this show. And you never know. You might take 30 seconds. You might go give us a rating on Spotify. And that one extra rating might have been the difference in whether we could bring it back for another season. So appreciate you guys. Best of luck for these blockbuster games. We'd love to hear your thoughts on all of them. What do you think of our next matchup? What bets are you hitting? Gamble responsibly with whatever you do jump on. See you Sunday morning or any time during Sunday that you're able to check out our recap. Enjoy, guys. Good luck. And leg on.